Well, good morning. I greet you in Jesus' name this morning. I trust that we can draw closer to Jesus as we look into his word this morning, and that we can find rest in Jesus. This morning, I would like to consider what it looks like to follow Jesus. What does that mean for you? What does that mean for me? So we think about following Jesus. It's a theme that we often hear about. Think about following Jesus. And I think the next few messages that I share are going to be thinking about this theme a little bit of following Jesus, different aspects of that. And the title of the message this morning is Following Jesus, the Meek and Lowly. And just to open briefly, I want to consider a verse from 1 Peter chapter 2. I won't spend much time there, but 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, Peter says this, "For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps." And just thinking about that call that Peter gives, that we are called to follow his example and follow in his steps. Now, we live in a world where it seems that following someone is most often referring to seeing what they're doing on social media. And it's amazing to me, the world that we live in, how many people can make a living on YouTube and producing these videos. And a big factor, you look at, you know, YouTube, people making a living on YouTube, a big factor to look at is how many followers they have. And it seems that's always the goal, to get more followers. Everybody's out to get more. And that kind of shows their rank or their status, where they're at. And I was curious, I wondered, who's the most followed YouTuber? And I don't know if anybody knows the most followed YouTube channel or Instagram account. My search showed that the most subscribed to YouTube channel is Mr. Beast. I don't know if you've heard that name before or not. But yeah, he has 459 million subscribers. And there's a lot of people who want to see what he has to produce. Just for context, there's 330 million people in the United States, so this is worldwide. And also on Instagram, Cristiano Ronaldo, who is a soccer player, famous soccer player from Portugal, he's the most followed Instagram account with 670 million followers. And I was thinking about that, just these numbers of people following on social media and the world that we live in of following in that way. But a lot of times, that's what is meant. When you're following somebody, you're looking at what they're producing. And at school, I hear at different times young people talking about or asking questions, you know, do you follow this person? And what they're really asking is, do you watch his videos? Do you know what he says and what he does, what he's producing? Do you know what's going on? Following means staying up to date. But is that the same way that we are to follow Jesus? And I think following and discipleship are connected as we think about following Jesus. It's connected to being his disciple. And I would imagine that these millions of people following these YouTubers, they would not say that they are disciples of those people. They just want to be entertained and see what's going on. They like the content and so forth. But I think an argument could be made that even just staying up to date on some of those people, it impacts who you are. And that's a different topic. I don't want to dig too much into that. I'll just say, don't believe the lie that you can watch all the media content that you want and it's not going to affect who you are, because it does. But I just want to think about what Peter says, the call that he gives. We are to follow in his steps, in the steps of Jesus. And that means more than just watching from a distance and kind of seeing what's going on, but walking alongside, following after, doing, following in his steps. And I want that to be our mentality when it comes to following Jesus, not just watching what's going on. Yes, we want to do that, but we want to follow after, in his steps. One time, years ago, I was driving to a ski resort with some friends, and it was such that somebody was leaving sooner than the others, so we had to take two vehicles up, and it was before the days of smartphones where everybody had a GPS on their phones, and I had a Garmin Nuvi GPS, and I was one of the few who had a GPS. And we figured, what if one of us has a GPS, that person will lead and the other person can follow. And we were traveling up through some interstate roads, and maybe I didn't know much about what it's like to follow somebody. I might have been going a little bit faster than I should have, or taking some turns quicker, but this friend following me had a hard time keeping up, and hard to follow after. And the one time he made a wrong turn and got going the wrong way on the highway, and wasn't too happy with me for the way I was driving. Maybe that's a confession of what it's like to follow me in a vehicle, but I think that gives us an idea of what it's like to follow, where you have to pay attention and you have to make sure you're making the right turns. And you really have to be aware of where that other person is going. Sometimes you have to stay really close. But I like to have that as a picture of following Jesus. So there's many different aspects that we could think about in following Jesus, the path that Jesus gave for us, the example that he gave. And this morning, I want to consider one aspect of that, and that is the meek and lowly nature of Jesus. And this morning, I want to highlight who Jesus is. Who is it that we're following? And what that means for us as we follow Jesus. It's interesting to note that in the beginning of Jesus' ministry, there were many who wanted to follow after. There were many crowds. Many people came. They wanted to hear. And it was even one point they searched him out. They came looking, and they were ready to make him king. I think John 6 talks about that point where they were going to take him by force. They wanted him as their leader. They wanted to follow this man. But there came a time when Jesus presented the crowds, his followers, with a hard saying. There was a narrow path, and there were teachings that he gave that made some people reconsider. And John 6 records that moment where it says many people who followed him turned away. And they said, you know what, this is actually not what we want. There was something about Jesus that initially drew many people and crowds, but then when they found out more, they turned away. And we see that Jesus was not afraid to clearly lay out who he was and what it meant to follow him. And I think one of those areas was the meek and lowly nature of Jesus. And I'd like to turn to Matthew 11 for a text this morning. This is where we see Jesus giving an invitation and telling us who he is. Matthew 11, verse 25, and just a brief context of these verses here. This passage comes directly after he rebukes the two cities that he had done many miracles in, Chorazin and Bethsaida, and it says they did not repent. Even though Jesus did many works in there, they completely missed who Jesus was. And he talks about how if Sodom would have seen what you saw, they would have repented. but they missed it. And that's when Jesus begins with this prayer, verse 25, Matthew 11, 25. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knows the Son but the Father, neither knows any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So we see statement of Jesus begins with a prayer. And it seems like this was a prayer to God that other people could hear, other people could listen in. And right after Jesus is rebuking these cities, he says, Father, thank you for hiding these things from the wise and prudent. And it's not just that, but you have revealed them to babes. And my mind goes to 1 Corinthians 1 and 2, where Paul talks about the hidden wisdom of God that none of the princes of the world knew. So there's an aspect of God's wisdom that evades the wisest of people, but yet it's revealed through the foolish things of the world. He says God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. So there's this mysterious way that God chooses to work and to reveal himself. Romans 11, Paul says that God's ways are past finding out. And I think maybe that's what he's getting at here as well. There are truths, there are things of God that really smart people can't figure out and explain, but yet even babies are able to understand. The young inquisitive minds is ready to learn and absorb. They can figure it out, but the college-educated people struggle to grasp. And he said, this is how God saw fit to arrange it. And we can wonder, what are those things, those hidden things that are revealed to babies? And there's different things that we could look at, the ways of God, the hidden wisdom of God. But I think we can get at least a glimpse of that in the next few verses. And I think part of what people can't understand is how a leader, a king, can be meek and lowly. We see that Jesus moves into this invitation after this prayer. It's probably a very familiar invitation that we've heard before, where Jesus says, come to me. If your load is heavy and you're looking for rest, come. And I wonder how many of us can identify with that, looking for rest, weary. And he doesn't say it specifically, but I think it fits to see this as an invitation to follow, to stay with Jesus and to abide. And he says two things. In verse 29, he says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. And it's interesting to see that in verse 30, Jesus says that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. And there are other places in the Gospels where we read about the cost of discipleship and the high cost. Jesus says, make sure you count the cost before you follow. And we need to compare that with this verse here. Jesus says his yoke is easy, but there's also a cost, and we need to work through that. Somehow we need to find a balance between those. But I want to focus on what Jesus says about himself. He says, learn of me, know who I am. He says, I am meek and lowly in heart. And it goes to the core of who Jesus is. It's who he is in heart. It's not just a facade on the outside, where once you get to really get to know him, then you find something different, but he is meek and lowly in heart. And I think this is echoed other places in the Bible as well. It's not just this passage alone. But a meek and lowly leader. And a lot of times when we think of leaders and what leaders should be, meek and lowly are usually not the first words that we think of. And if you just briefly look in the world of politics, you can see that meek and lowly are not the characteristics that people point to when they're trying to get elected. They rather point to how they are going to get things done, and they know exactly what to do. They will make things happen. But Jesus highlights his meek and lowly nature. Come and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly. An invitation to come, to follow Jesus, who is meek and lowly. And when you look at his life, from his birth, the whole way through his ministry and his death, you can see how he lived that out. It was humble, and it was indeed meek and lowly. Not often what we think a king of the universe should look like. And that meekness and lowliness of Jesus is connected to giving rest in our souls. You shall find rest for your souls. So I'm going to consider, what does it mean to be meek? If Jesus is meek, what does that mean about him? I heard a psychologist talk one time about the wisdom of the ancients and how we have so much to learn today from the wisdom of years ago. And I think he was in part referencing Jesus and the teachings of Jesus. But then he made this clarification. He said, yeah, there's a lot of things that we can learn from, like take humility. He said he thinks humility is a big part that's missing in our world today. We need to learn humility. But then he says, but I don't want to be meek. And meekness is I think that reflects a common perception of meekness, where Jesus says that he is meek. We often see that as a negative. And probably a lot of times our understanding of meekness is just accepting whatever comes and being a doormat. You know, people walk through a door, they step over the doormat every time. And a meek person is like that doormat, where people just walk over them and they just accept it. They won't do anything about it. And a lot of times I think that's the idea that we have of meekness. And that's generally how we would use the word. At least I think that's the popular understanding of meekness. But is that what Jesus was saying about himself? And I would say maybe not quite. I found it interesting that a lot of other translations would use the word gentle instead of meek, and probably because of that connotation that we have with that word. But I think that fits. Gentleness. The Bible dictionary I was looking at defined this Greek word as gentle, humble, meek, or mild. And it was one resource, a different resource that I found, that gave different usages of people in Jesus' day. How did they use this word? Different places that it shows up. And it's interesting to see the different ways that it was used. And it helps us understand. A lot of times context can really help us understand the meaning of a word. So one usage was in the context of medicine, where when they would try to figure out the right dosage for medicine, you have to make sure you get the right amount, because if it's not enough, it won't be effective, it won't do anything. But if it's too much, it'll be harmful. So you have to find that right dosage. And they would have called that this meek or gentle amount, where it's effective, but it's not too much. That's one way that the people of Jesus' time would have used this word. Another way was referring to a gentle breeze that was coming off of the ocean. And it's, you know, you think of a nice soft breeze, it's very refreshing, can be very nice and enjoyable. But sometimes that wind can be very strong and damaging. We know the power of high winds and hurricanes, what that can do. But if it's a nice, meek breeze, it's very refreshing. And it's pleasant, it's mild. And another way that they used this word was to refer to a wild horse that had been broken and tamed. So now that horse, instead of being out of control, it was now, they call that a meek horse or a gentle horse. It was under control. Not that it lost all of its strength, right? But it's able to be managed. And I think each one of those usages or illustrations is pointing to the idea of strength under control. Something that can be damaging and harmful, but when it's meek or gentle, it's very pleasant and helpful and refreshing. And I think that can help us understand a little bit better of what Jesus was getting at. You could say strength under control. And I think that's the nature of Jesus, because he could do so much more. And I think of that verse in the Garden of Gethsemane, where the disciples were all worried, and Jesus says, wait, don't you know that I could, at this moment, I could call 1,000 legions of angels, and we could be out of the situation. But he chose not to. He could have the power. He has the power to impose and to force things to happen. And sometimes that's what we want. But instead, he's gentle, mild. He has that perfect balance. It's not too much. It's not damaging, but it's effective. And he invites us to come and to experience that. His yoke is easy, and his burden is light. He's not imposing, demanding, but gentle. And right along with that, he says he's lowly or humble. He's not self-seeking. He has our best interest in mind. At different times we hear Jesus in his prayers, he says that he has not come to seek his own will, but that of the Father. And this is how he is describing himself to us, and he invites us to come. Find rest for your souls. And I believe this is also an invitation to follow. Come to me, learn of me, become more like me. Take his easy yoke and light burden. When it comes to following Jesus, I think it's very important to know who it is that we're following, to know the nature of Jesus. And that's why I think this is so valuable to get our minds around the meek and lowly Jesus. So what does this mean for us as we think about following Jesus and how we can do that, different aspects of that today? What does this passage have for us to teach us? And I think the biggest thing is just reminding us of who Jesus is. We need to be reminded of that gentle and humble nature of Jesus. And reminded of Psalm 103, where David is just talking about the character of God and the grace and the mercy, the love of God. And verse 14, he says, he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. He knows what we're made of. He knows our weaknesses. And he knows that we need a meek and lowly leader. And for some reason, just probably in our human way of looking at things, we tend to see God as strict and demanding. And to follow Jesus, we have to walk this perfect line and keep everything right. We have to live up to it. And that's maybe our human tendency to think like that. And I think if that's our perception of Jesus, we're missing something of what he's saying here. Do we remember that Jesus is the one who will not break a bruised reed and he will not smother a smoldering wick? And I think it's put well in the song, Jesus Strong and Kind. I don't know if you've heard that song before, but I think we see that invitation reflected in that song. The one verse says, Jesus said, if I am weak, I should run to him. No one else can be my strength. I should come to him. And the chorus goes on, for the Lord is good and faithful. He will keep us day and night. We can always run to Jesus. Jesus strong and kind. And I think that puts it well. We have that invitation to come to Jesus. Are we running to Jesus? And I think another thing, so we first of all want to know who Jesus is. And that's just a reminder. This is who Jesus is. And also, I believe we can learn that what Jesus calls us with is what he calls us to. What Jesus calls us with is what he calls us to. And it's another way of saying that we are called to be like Jesus. And since Jesus is that gentle and humble leader, and he makes that very clear here, we can find rest to our souls when we come to him and when we respond to this invitation. I believe we are called to imitate that same attitude as well. And I think it's reflected in the story that Jesus told in Matthew 18 of the man who was forgiven this great debt that he was totally unable to pay, and he was forgiven. He was allowed to go free. And then right after that, as he went out, he found a fellow servant and says he was demanding and imposing. He said, pay what you owe. And he was unable to pass that on, that forgiveness that he experienced. And it just doesn't fit. And we saw that there were consequences in that story for that man. And I think in the same way, neither does it fit for us to take this invitation from Jesus to come and find rest, but then remain unchanged. And I believe we are called to that same gentleness and that same humility that Jesus demonstrates. Jesus wants to transform and to change each one of us to be more like him. And I think that includes being meek and lowly. And I think we could ask the simple question, do the people around me that I interact with, when they come to me, do they find rest? Or do they find that strong wind that can be damaging? Or that medicine that, yes, it's good, but it's too much. And now it's actually hurting. I believe we have so much to learn from Jesus, the meek and lowly. And may God forgive us when we fall short. I believe when it comes to following Jesus, I want us first of all to be reminded of who Jesus is. He is that meek and lowly leader, gentle and humble, effective but not damaging. He knows our frame. He remembers that we are but dust, and he invites us to come and to find rest. So have you come to Jesus? Have you found that rest? Are you following the meek and lowly Savior? And at the same time, are you allowing him to work in your life to pass that on to others so that others can find rest in their interactions with you. And may God help us to be faithful as we journey in following him. May we find that rest, and may we be able to pass that on as well. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for who you are. I thank you for your mercy, for your love, your grace that we don't deserve. And as we read about your character, your meek and lowly character, and the fact that you offer rest, I pray that each one of us could find that rest for our soul. And I pray that we would be able to pass that on as well as we interact with others, as we receive from you, help us to be able to give to others. I pray that you would guide us in our week ahead. Would you give us strength to be faithful? I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand, and Jarell, if you'd lead in a closing song. After the song, you are dismissed.